the secret is still my own, and my love for you is still unknown.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dry, windy conditions driving wildfires across the Texas Panhandle into western Oklahoma. Aaron O'Connor is with the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Certainly the entire panhandle is at risk, but that northern area near the Amarillo, Canadian, Tampa area, that seems to be where we're having a lot of wildfire growth at this time.
In suburban Chicago, several tornadoes touched down, including in Hoffman Estates, where Nancy Cramp waited it out with her mother.
The wind, all of a sudden the wind picked up and we heard things hitting the roof. We were hitting the windows. We were downstairs. The sirens were already going off.
Lightning and hail also reported. At least 100,000 protest votes cast in the Michigan primary. People writing uncommitted instead of Joe Biden's name on the Democratic ticket as a way of protesting the U.S. policy in Gaza. A funeral service is planned for Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. It'll be held in suburban Moscow on Friday, 2 weeks after his death in a penal colony. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
The Sauk County Sheriff's Office is warning of a scam in the community. Officials put out a Facebook post explaining that people are getting calls from someone claiming to be a sergeant or lieutenant from the Sauk County Sheriff's Office. The scammer says the person they called has warrants out for their arrest and needs to make payments. The Sheriff's Office reminded people that they would never call a citizen and attempt to take warrant payments over the phone. If you get a call like this, you're advised to hang up and report it to the Sauk County Dispatch Center at 608-356-4895. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM, Jim City Weather.
It is going to be a lot colder today, mostly sunny, 24 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 15 to 25. That's going to keep the wind chill in the single digits here for most of the day. Tonight, clear, down to 12 tomorrow. Sunny, 46 by Friday, sunshine with a high of 53. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 11.
99.7.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. We hope you are having a great start to your Wednesday. Hey, at least we've already made it halfway through another work week. We're accomplishing something, getting closer to the weekend, that is. Genesis Now, Invisible Touch on Max FM.
Now 90s, and more.
Max FM.
Casbah, there is a clash. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM, 11 minutes after 7 now. Finn, good morning. How are you on this Wednesday?
Good morning, Maddie. As long as technology holds out, I was booted offline just moments before, so fingers crossed we'll be okay.
Oh, I hate when that happens. That's such an awful way to start the day. You know what else is an awful way to start the day? By going outside this morning, because it is not pleasant out there. Aspie just tried to do her thing, and she was like, Mom, I can't stand up. There's too much wind. It was horrific out there.
It's a blustery day, isn't it?
It is a little blustery, and when the snow is pelting you in your face and you're just looking for a place to poop, you know, it gets a little difficult out there. My goodness. It is definitely chilly today, and it's a departure from yesterday. We'll put it like that, because yesterday it was gorgeous. My goodness. Today, not so much. It's just going to be a little little breezy. I mean, we're talking wind gusts up to about 30 today, and that's obviously going to keep the cold temperatures. I mean, our high is only 27 in the single digits because of the wind chill. Now, the good news is tomorrow we rebound back into the 40s. So, you know, if there's anything to look forward to, it's the fact that we're going to get warmer weather once again. But now this is not a pleasant way to start the day. It's a little shocking to the system when you walk outside. That's the other thing, too. We listen to the forecast. We might watch it on our local TV channels, but it's a whole other thing when you walk outside, is it
when
not?
You live and breathe it, yeah.
definitely not what I was expecting for some reason. I also didn't expect the, you know, light dusting of snow on the ground either. That kind of took me by surprise this morning.
Yeah, it's basically one day of winter weather, and then we're back on track, I guess. Kind
the
of.
Birds are not chirping this morning. They are huddled down somewhere trying to just not, you know, be blown out of their tree. The squirrels are not running around this morning. They're kind of hunkered down trying not to be blown out of a tree. So, yeah, you get kind of what Mother Nature dishes out. And today she was like, winter, that's what you get today.
That's what
winter.
You're getting today.
That's right. Tomorrow it might be a whole other thing. We never quite know with Mother Nature. Now, besides, I'm sure, spending a lot of time outside yesterday, because I'm sure Sunset and Theo enjoyed the warmer temperatures as well. Anything fun and exciting at your house?
They did enjoy the weather yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was chaos at the little doggy trail where I take them for a walk. You know, I mean, unseasonably warm weather yesterday. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everybody, and I mean everybody, was out with their dogs, right? Okay. Because it was nice weather. Everybody wants to get outdoors. All right. Okay. But there's always one, sometimes two, sometimes three. And you know, in the age of entitlement, I'm not going to get up on my soapbox too much, but, you know, where I take the dogs for a walk, it's just a trail. It's a trail by a school, okay?
Sure.
It's not a dog park.
Right.
It's just a trail. People walk there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Put your dog on a leash, please.
Not every dog is friendly. Not every dog minds very well. Not every dog loves to be around different people and different dogs and just in a different environment. To me, it's just safer to put them on a leash, is it not? I mean,
you would think.
It truly is for everybody involved. Owner, dog, everybody else around that dog. It gets a little frustrating. This is kind of why we tend to avoid puppy parks a lot. You know, that's a whole different scenario, but there are some people who just let their dogs loose and they don't care what their dogs do. They don't care if the dogs are jumping on everybody else. They don't care if they're taking toys. And I get their dogs. Mm-hmm. It's not like taking your kids to, you know, the toddler park or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a certain degree of, you know, that dog isn't minding. That dog is being not well behaved. It's intimidating other dogs. And that's a whole reason I don't do puppy parks, because you never quite know. Now, that's why we like to do what's called the sniff spots. You and I have talked about these. It's literally an app where you go and you get like you rent like somebody's backyard, somebody's fenced in acre, whatever it might be. You get it for like so many dollars, depending on what they've set their price at, for an hour, 2 hours. You know, it depends on if you have a couple of dogs or maybe more. Maybe you're going to have somebody else you meet there. We love sniff spots because Aspie is cool with other dogs. Now the other dogs are cool with Aspie. And so I like her to still get her exercise and run around. I also take her to the Reedsburg Puppy Park in the middle of the day, because usually if I know what times there's not going to be anybody there. And then all she really wants to do is sniff for a while and run a few laps. And now that she's getting a little bit older, she's like, okay, we can go now.
We're
good. Just gets the zoomies out of her instead of springboarding off the back of my couch. But no, I get it. It's hard when you're dealing with other dog owners. I used to feel the same thing, though, when I used to take my kids places to play. I'd be like, if parents could just mind their kids, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was my get off the lawn moment from yesterday. Get off my lawn. But, you know, I mean, you know, and I'm kind of restraining.
It just makes it hard for everybody.
Yeah, my dogs are freaking out because his dog is freaking out. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of restraining my dogs, you know, and it's just kind of like, dude, You know,
I don't,
there's signs that are up, you know, pick up after your dog,
people
you
don't
know,
care.
And keep your dogs on leashes, you know, it's whatever, you know,
people don't
and
care.
It's just kind of like, dude, I don't really need this right now because,
right.
you know, you get stressed out, right?
Yes, it's very okay? stressful in those situations because you don't know how the dogs are going to react.
Exactly. And then you've averted a close call, and mm-hmm. but it stresses you out enough
right.
to throw you off your game, at least for a little while.
Yes.
And then it takes you a while to calm down. It takes the dogs a while to
yes.
calm down. And
I took Aspen out yesterday. There was nobody really moving out here on Goose Poop Pond. A couple of people were outside working. No dog incidences for us yesterday. Here's what I will say. Apparently, it was a lot warmer than I thought because we went for probably a 2.5 mile walk. And you would have swore that it was July 20th in the 98 degree sun the way that girl was panting. I was like, seriously, what are you going to do when it's actually warm out here? It was a little ridiculous. And then the pace that we were walking, oh my gosh. And there were things that were blooming and there were things that are new sniffs. And
I
texted
in.
Corey at one point and I was like, 25 minutes out here and we have walked 3.5 blocks because our nose was glued to the ground. So yeah, I totally feel with you for the walking incident. Luckily, nobody's really ever out here during the day on Goose Poop Pond. Most everybody who is usually is driving somewhere. They're working. We'll run into the occasional people with dogs, but they're all pretty good dog owners. There's a few that are off leash, but they're very, very well trained. Very, very well trained. Aspie looks, you know, like an amateur in everything she does compared to these dogs. So I don't worry too much about them, and they're good owners. You know, as soon as they see us coming, they make them come right to their side. They make them sit and wait until we pass because Aspie's still on a leash and on a prong. So I'm very fortunate in that respect, but not so fortunate in the pace we were moving yesterday. Turtles were laughing at us.
Well, as we've discussed before, Theo, our Australian Shepherd, is not he's not exactly great with other dogs.
Sure.
He just hasn't had a lot of socialization with other dogs. And because, I mean, he spends his days and nights with another dog right here in the house.
Yeah, but,
I mean,
that's different. That's
it's
sister.
Totally different. It's yeah, exactly. You know, but because he's a rescue dog, we don't know what happened in his backstory.
Sure.
We don't know if he was mauled by another dog. We have no idea, but he reacts a certain way and he's always on a leash. And I understand if your dog is really well trained, that's awesome. That's how I would like to have my dog is trained just like that. But at the same time, you know, yes, they're domesticated animals. We have domesticated them, but you never know. You
they're
never know
animals.
Exactly what could happen at any given moment. But anyway, when you were out yesterday out there at Goose Poop Pond, did you have that moment of transition where it was warm throughout the course of the day and then it switched, it just turned on a dime? Because that's what we had. Like
we were
all of a sudden it was a lot colder.
Yes, we were at the station. I had some work to do at the station yesterday, and obviously when I went in, I was just in t-shirt and leggings and, you know, some sneakers. And when I left the house, whenever I go to the station to work and my husband's around, I know that it's going to take much longer than it needs to, because there's always going to be something that he's like, oh, could you take care of this. Oh, could you handle this? Oh, we need to do this. So I took a sweatshirt with me. Thank goodness I did, because by the time we went to get something to eat, the wind had come up and I was like, huh, now it's cold and this kind of sucks. Because obviously when I went into the station and was running my errands and, you know, just running around in the afternoon, gorgeous out. And then by the time, as soon as the sun basically started setting, that's when we had the big switch around here.
Mm-hmm.
Now you were talking about the entitlement factor with the dog walking issue.
Yeah.
I got to talk about how many people are complaining about the road construction on 8th Avenue. Seriously, people, it was like driving your covered wagon down that road for years, right? Like you felt like you were back in Mom, Pa, Ingalls day bouncing into town.
Yeah.
Seriously, let these people do their job. Quit complaining. I know it's an inconvenience and it really kind of sucks right now, but think of how awesome the road is going to be when it's going to be. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's hard to get around. I had a couple places yesterday right on 8th that I was like, huh, All right, let me just swing around through the backside, come in the exit. Hopefully nobody's there kind of thing. I get it. It's hard, and it makes things a little bit more inconvenient right now. Give yourself some extra time. You might have to plan ahead because I know, we don't like to do that. We're, you know, running by the skin of our teeth most mornings, trying to get ourselves out the door to work, the kids to school, whatever. But let's remember what 8th Avenue was like just a few days ago and try to imagine what it might be like when this is all done, okay? So yes. Let's give them a break. Let's let them do their thing. And I know it's going to be a long project. But everywhere I went yesterday, people were complaining about it. And I was like, uh-huh, you're the same people who were complaining because of the potholes just a little bit ago. So
yeah, people love to complain and they don't like change so much. But yeah, think about how much better it's going to be driving
it
down.
It was needed. It was needed a long time ago.
Yeah. And make sure you still visit your favorite businesses. You know, I mean, Jose's is still open. I mean, you can still, I mean, there's ways around, you know, I mean, it takes a little bit of,
might have to think about it a little bit more. And I did the same thing yesterday because there were a couple times when I hopped in the car to go run errands for the station. I was like, I'm just going to pull. Nope, I'm not going to pull onto 8th because that's not going to work. Yeah. I mean, so you just got to think a little bit. But most of the back roads are open. There's a little bit more traffic on them right now. You're going through neighborhoods, so be mindful of that because there's more kids and stuff running around in those areas. People were out walking dogs and things last night. So you just got to be mindful of that. But please, please just give it a chance.
Yeah.
It's desperately needed.
I realize people that aren't from around the area that are just driving by, that are visiting or whatever, they don't know those alternate, you know, routes that we know. Oh, I know how to get around that way and I know how to get down this way and I don't have to, you know, and I understand that and, you know, apologies, but again, you know, needs to happen.
It's really not going to last forever. It's a short blip in time. And I get this is going to be a big project. So it's going to be a bigger blip in time. But let's just remember that just last week at this time, you almost lost a wheel in a pothole, right? And so in just a few months, you're not going to have that problem. And again, if you want to take a look at the map of what's open, what's closed to make life a little bit easier, it is Highway 33 Reconstruction Project over on Facebook. It's HWY 33 Reconstruction Project. They're going to keep that up to date. It shows you what portions of each road are open, what side streets you can get through easily right now. So, and they'll update it as progress is made. But we don't need to whine about these things. We're adults here. We can all be civil in this situation.
How long have we all been saying, wow, they really need to fix the potholes here? I mean, come on.
It was getting to a point where you were avoiding sometimes 8th Avenue anyway, right? Because the road was just that
bad. I like to do anyway because it's just crazy on 8th Avenue.
Yes, but, it is. And I get the for people who are doing drop-offs and pickups over at the high school and the middle school, I get that is going to be really chaotic for a while. I'm not diminishing how chaotic it is and the fact that we have to give ourselves extra time and think a little bit. I was tired of hearing the whining yesterday because it needs to be done.
And you know, it's totally different. I mean, when I first got back to the area, just seeing how busy that section is, totally different from 100 years ago when I was a teenager back in the caveman days. You know, it was nothing. I mean, now it's kind of like, okay, what is this, Milwaukee or Chicago?
It's a busy little hub over there for sure. And I love that people over on social media are helping everybody else out. Yesterday I saw a post and somebody was like, if you want to get to this place, just take this road over to this road and then you can go in the back driveway. And I was like, see, we can work together on things. This can be done.
Baraboo United. Yes.
Literally and figuratively. Yes. That's for sure. Especially
looking at their Facebook
posts.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a lot of good stuff. I found some good stuff over there.
I just saw one just today where it was, talk about your favorite places that you used to like to go to in Baraboo around the area when you were a kid.
Yes.
And I was scrolling through. I'm like, oh, this really takes me back.
See, we can unite for the good sometimes. Sometimes. We've got to take a look at the forecast right now. It is definitely going to be colder today. If you have haven't stepped outside, it's a little bit of a shock to the system if you enjoyed yesterday's temperatures. Lots of sunshine, though, today, which I guess is the good news. But it is going to be breezy, keeping the wind chills in the single digits. Our high today is only 24. Tonight, clear down to 12, so definitely going to be a frigid night. And then as we head into tomorrow and the end of the work week, we're going to warm things up just a bit. Sunny and 46 tomorrow, 53 by Friday. Right now, it is 14.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent, running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
For 40 years, Habitat for Humanity of Wisconsin River Area has been dedicated to serving our community by helping local people in need, and this year we are asking you to join us in our mission. This is John. Call me at 370-4985 for more information on how you can be part of our 40 for 40 volunteer challenge. It's a great way to meet new people, be a part of something big, and you might just have some fun too. See HFHWisconsinRiver.org to be part of our 40th anniversary celebration.
Two female-led rock and roll Hall of Fame groups will be celebrated Friday night as Heart to Heartbreaker, playing the hits of Heart, as well as Pat Benatar, returns to Wisconsin Dells and the Legacy Dinner Theater. With 40 combined hits and over 70 million albums sold, these two supergroups will have you singing along with power ballads and straight-up rock and roll all night long. There may even be a special appearance by other female legends. Get your tickets today to see Heart to Heartbreaker Friday night at LegacyDinnerTheater.com. Then on Saturday night, it's the best of Pink Floyd as Echoes of Pompeii returns to Wisconsin Dells. With 11 members in the band and a huge laser light show, this will be one of the best concerts you'll see all year. Pink Floyd is one of the most successful bands in history, and Echoes of Pompeii is one of the best tributes out there. The Legacy Dinner Theater across from the Wilderness Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Get tickets today at LegacyDinnerTheater.com. That's LegacyDinnerTheater.com.
High fashion doesn't have to mean a high price tag. Amber Lux Consignment Boutique in downtown Baraboo has name brand women, men, infant, and children clothing items, shoes, designer handbags, gift items, and much more. Women owned and operated, Amber Lux Consignment Boutique is located at 121 5th Street in Baraboo. New items are added daily. Stop in Tuesday through Saturday to find your new fashion focus for less at Amber Lux Consignment Boutique of Baraboo.
Max FM. 729 right now. It's the Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams on 99.7 Max FM. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 7:33 right now. And of course, you know, a lot of people right now, Finn, trying to enjoy a delicious breakfast. Aspen and I shared our blueberries, our apples, and our bananas this morning. even if she's in her kennel right now, she still has to have some of mommy's fruit. It's just how it goes every single morning. She drools. Like there's little spit bubbles coming out of the jowls when she sees blueberries. So those must be shared. They must be shared. But if you're enjoying your breakfast this morning, I want you to think about this, all right? Because there's a lot of us while we were growing up who enjoyed some unusual food combinations, only we didn't realize they were unusual until we became adults, and then we realized nobody else was ever eating these types of meals. So people over on BuzzFeed right now are sharing the meals that they found to be delicious as a kid and then later realized they were pretty weird combinations. So I've got a list of a few of them here, okay? So the first one on this list, if this doesn't sound tasty this morning, I don't know what does. Ketchup sandwiches. Just ketchup and white bread. And sometimes they'd spice it up by adding bologna or sliced ham. So I guess you could make that a breakfast meal. Add
sliced
some cheese, maybe.
And ketchup?
I don't know. I'm trying really hard. Maybe add some cheese and toast it and you can come up with a breakfast sandwich or something. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I love that much ketchup.
I guess the bologna at least adds something. But just ketchup and white bread?
I know. It's weird. And then there are other people who chimed in on this particular one and were like, no, mustard sandwiches were the best. Like, put mustard on a bread and eat it after school kind of thing. No, I won't be doing that as well. Although the Mustard Museum in Madison thanks you for your contributions, let me tell you. Eggo waffles with melted sharp cheddar cheese on them. That doesn't actually sound so bad, because sometimes we'll take Eggo waffles and make breakfast sandwiches here. We'll put like a sausage patty on it with eggs and that type of thing. Okay. Toast the Eggo, and it's actually delicious. Now, we don't
better
do it so much.
Ketchup sandwiches, for
this
sure.
This is true. We don't do it so much anymore, but when the boys were little, they didn't really love the crust of bread. They didn't really like bread crust at all, especially when it was toasted. So if we wanted to do breakfast sandwiches, this is how we tricked them. We'd put it on Eggo waffles, and then I could always get them to eat a breakfast sandwich with some, you know, chicken sausage in the center and a nice egg and a little, you know, whole cheese and stuff like that.
Sure.
So you do what you got to do sometimes. Uh-huh. This is one that my mom was so good at. Cut up hot dogs and everything. Scrambled eggs. Yep. Been there, done that. Emboxed mac and cheese. Yep. Been there, done that one as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Stir fry vegetables. We never did that. And even on top of rice. And she never did that. But scrambled eggs for sure on a Sunday morning. She'd get up really early and make breakfast. There was always hot dogs or some sort of sausage in the eggs and then mac and cheese. Even if she did a homemade batch, there was always some hot dogs involved. So yes, I grew up with that. This one's interesting. And I don't think I would try this, but grape jelly on a grilled cheese. That's another one that made this BuzzFeed list of our weird concoctions
actually,
as a kid.
I would maybe try that. That actually doesn't sound too bad. You know, you've got the sweet mixed
And the savory.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of a grilled cheese snob, though. I just feel like grilled cheese are perfect as they are. So why do we have to dress them up? You know what I'm saying?
That's when you do grilled cheese, do you do tomato soup then with it?
It depends. Cause I make my own bisque a lot of the times, which Dexter really, really loves. Corey, because of the fact that, you know, he's getting older now and heartburn becomes an issue, can't do anything tomato. So I usually make him something else and then maybe Dexter and I some tomato bisque of some sort, but it just really kind of depends on what kind of time we have. Now, I will say this, I'm the type of person who in the winter always has about probably 15 cans of soup sitting in a pantry. Because you just never know. You can always whip up a grilled cheese and throw some soup on the side, right? If you're in a hurry. So that's kind of a staple if it's kind of a busy night. The other thing I like to do in the winter, this is just a tip for anybody who's really, really busy. Get a can of creamy chicken noodle soup. Keep a couple of them somewhere in the house if you can. And then some of those Pillsbury, buttermilk biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
Cook up your biscuits.
Kind
of
like chicken dumpling kind of
thing. Exactly. Yeah. It's super easy. It's super hearty. And obviously, we love to try to do something that's not out of a can all the time, but sometimes time just warrants it. And so that's what we like to do around here as well. Spaghetti noodles with canned beans. That's a different one. Now, are we talking refried beans? Are we talking just red beans? I would really need to know what kind of beans we're talking. Not that any of it sounds good, but I would really have to know if there's a bean variety that works better for this than something else. That's kind of a weird one too. Chili and cinnamon rolls. I've actually heard of this. And there are restaurants that I have been to that is a staple on their menu. Chili with a cinnamon roll. That to me seems like heart attack or heart, like a heartburn in a bowl. I have no idea, but this is actually
heartburn
a staple.
And diabetes is probably right? What it is.
This is a staple at some restaurants, like diner-y type things that we've eaten at. Some in Minnesota, some in South Dakota. I have never seen it around
never
here.
Heard of it.
But
yeah.
No, this was a staple in places that we used to dine in you know, our former life before Wisconsin. Making ham salad by grinding up cooked hot dogs and then you mix it with a little sweet relish and mayonnaise. Honestly, that doesn't sound like the worst thing that you could eat. If you were in a pinch, I mean, it doesn't really sound that bad. I don't really love ham salad. I don't really love ham in general. So if I had like an all beef rank, then maybe this sounds a little bit better to me. But I get it. Sometimes you're in a pinch, right?
Mm-hmm.
A cubed up baguette tossed with Greek yogurt and chopped mint and sometimes with honey to make it a sweet treat. Okay. Isn't it still essentially bread? Like it's still essentially bread no matter what you mix it with. Having milk to drink with spaghetti, another one that made this list. Now, this particular person says that it's super refreshing and counters the acidity perfectly. Italian-American friends, though, think it's very bizarre. Yes, they probably will. But no, that's how we eat spaghetti around here
that's,
as well.
That's what
with
my
milk.
Wife does, yeah.
I know,
it's always
I know.
The same. Yeah.
But it makes sense because it does break down the acid, right?
Yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
you know, we must have more of a delicate system than our Italian-American friends
must
or something,
be.
The
yeah.
rest of us. And then finally on this list is coffee and crackers. So essentially, according to the person who posted this, you take a plate, you line it with saltines, pour over coffee until they're softened, and then you spread some sugar on it to taste, and then you eat it like deli ham. Okay. That does not sound good to me.
Okay. So, but the crackers is what throws me off here.
Right?
Because am I weird? Because sometimes with my coffee, sometimes I will dunk my toast into
sure.
my coffee.
That makes sense.
You know, but crackers,
they say that
the
they
coffee
become like-
over. The
yeah,
crackers?
They say it becomes like deli ham, but wouldn't they just get mushy and break up into 100 little pieces?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, but apparently I'm not doing it right or I'm over-soaking them or something. Now I just feel like I need to experiment with some of this stuff and see how it actually works.
I mean, with the grape jelly on grilled cheese. I'm trying it. I'm going to try it.
Okay. Well,
that doesn't sound too bad to me, actually.
And again, if I wasn't such a, you know, a grilled cheese purist, I would probably try it. But I really do believe that grilled cheese could be their own food group and that they're amazing on their own. And when we make grilled cheeses around here, we like to try all sorts of different concoctions. I mean, we'll do provolone cheese, we'll do pepper jack cheeses.
Do cream cheese
on top? Oh yeah, we've done that before as well. I also make an amazing veggie grilled cheese. So essentially you take all of these veggies like zucchini, some yellow squash, I mean whatever is your favorite, some peppers. It doesn't take very much because hello, grilled cheese, you don't have a lot of space to work with. And you saute those all up and then you put your cheese down after your bread is ready, and then you put these fresh veggies on top, and sometimes I even throw in like a little turkey Italian sausage, and then you put your top on, let it all melt together. Best grilled cheeses ever. Best grilled cheeses absolutely ever. Plus, my kids will eat them, and I'm throwing in veggies that they don't normally just love on their own. So
do you
prefer a certain
type of bread?
We usually tend to do like a thicker artisan bread because again, we're kind of grilled cheese snobs around here. Mm-hmm. So we like a little bit of a thicker bread. Yeah, we do anything. I mean, any type of bread. We've done multigrain. We've done rye. We've done wheat. We do basically whatever I have on hand or whatever I've decided is going to be the bread of choice. Sometimes we'll get really fancy and we'll do a loaf that we have to cut ourselves, but that's pretty rare because, well, I'm the one who makes the grilled cheese. Who has time to actually cut a loaf of bread? So, I mean, these are things that, the grape jelly actually makes sense to me, but I would have a hard time because I just think grilled cheese can stand on their own.
Well, you have elevated the grilled cheese. Now it's gourmet grilled cheese.
See, I try. Sometimes you got to make, change things up a little bit, make them a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for a grilled cheese with just some bread and some American sandwich cheese slapped in between.
That's what I used to do with my two older boys. They used to swear by those grilled cheese, and all it was just maybe one or two slices of American cheese on bread, grilled up, bingo, done.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, then they'd be with their mom, and then they'd be like, you don't make them as good as dad does, you know? awesome. You said that the boys didn't used to, they didn't prefer, or they preferred the grilled cheese without the crust.
They hated any sort of bread when they were really little with a crust, because they didn't like how crunchy the crust got. They didn't like that crunch of the crust. And I get it. It can be, you know, depending on how dry your bread is, it can be a little tough to chew through. So this is when they were really, really little. And then eventually Dexter just learned how to peel off his crust himself, and he would eat that by himself. And then he would take Max's as he peeled it off too, because then eventually he learned to like the crunch. And Max, as we've talked, did not prefer anything crunchy, so they were always swapping crusts. Like, it didn't matter if it was their Pop-Tart, didn't matter if
kids
it was a bread.
So
I know, they were always swapping things across the table. And so for some of Dexter's like middle of a sandwich, the Max would have to give him some of his crust, and I was like, okay, what sometimes you just don't ask questions. This was also the stage in life when my kids had their very own language. They truly did. For a really long time, my kids communicated before Dexter could actually say a lot of words. My kids communicated with their own language, and they knew what each other was saying. We had no idea what they were saying to each other. And I remember my mom was taking care of them one weekend, and she called me and she goes, "Did you know that they have their own language?" And I said, "Uh-huh." And she goes, "I'm pretty sure they've been sitting here making fun of me for an entire day." But she said, "I can't prove it because I don't know what they're saying." So no, they were kind of like, you know, they say twins have that. My boys had that for a really long time, for about a year, year and a half, before Dexter could really verbalize and really articulate words. They very much had their own language. So they'd be just like making these gestures and sounds to each other, but they knew exactly what the other one was saying. And then they'd start swapping bread crust across the table. So
everybody else needed subtitles.
That's
but
right.
They knew what they were saying to
That's
each
right.
other.
That's
what
right.
What about Corey? Is he a crust guy or no crust?
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He just, if it's toasted, if he didn't have to do it himself and I'm serving it up with some eggs or something good, he doesn't care. He's not going to complain. So I'm always appreciative of that, because I'm sure over the years I've probably served him some really awful stuff, but for the most part, he was a good sport and he just, you know, ate it. When we first got married, I was not a good cook at all. Like, at all. I do not deny this. It was awful. I would boil water, you know, for something until it boiled right out of the pan. I was not a good cook. I was not at all. And then all of a sudden, I became a stay-at-home mom, and our income went from 2 to 1, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, surprise, you've got to learn how to make your own food.
And so, now you're Chef Maddie. There you go.
That's right. And I was like, look, I can read. I can follow a recipe. We've got this. So that's kind of where the kitchen skill started from, way back in the day when I became a stay-at-home mom. And it was out of survival, essentially, is what it was. Survival and necessity, because we just didn't have the income to go eat out all the time like we had when we were both working. So you got to learn to do a lot of things. And then, of course, that parlayed into me being the mom who made her own baby food and all of that kind of stuff. So I was that person, because apparently I had all sorts of time on my hands.
It's so interesting when you're a young parent and then you mature into a seasoned professional, you know, because it almost always starts with mac and cheese.
Yes.
That's usually where it starts.
Yes.
And then it evolves.
Max had a lot of sensory issues. So our big one in our house was all beef franks cut in half with a slice of cheese down the middle, because we were trying really hard to get in as many food groups as we absolutely could. Right. And when he had sensory issues when he was little, there were literally 5 to 6 things that he would eat. So we had to rotate those out. He couldn't do anything creamy. He couldn't do anything too thick. He couldn't do pudding. I mean, puddings and all of that, they were completely out. He couldn't do the texture of applesauce. I mean, it was hard pressed to get him to be able to eat. So, chicken nuggets were a big one. The mac and cheese out of the blue box, because that's what he knew it as, because he wouldn't eat any other mac and cheeses, including homemade. We did the hot dogs cut down the center. We did grilled cheeses, but they couldn't be too dark or we wouldn't eat them. Crust had to be cut off by that point. So it was a lot of necessity just to get him to eat. So a lot of whole wheat breads and things like that, just so he was getting some sort of nutrition until we could figure out the sensory stuff. And then one day he started going to therapy, and And one of his tasks was to play chef. So his therapist would bring in all these different ingredients and he got to make whatever he wanted. And then mom got to come in and try it. But the stipulation was that if you make it as the chef, you also have to try it. That was the stipulation if you want to play the game. And he loved games. And so his food epiphany happened during that time period. That's what we essentially call it, because all of a sudden he realized that, ooh, this isn't horrible. Ooh, I should maybe be eating some of this. And it was literally like his whole world like awakened. I mean, it truly did, because now all of a sudden he had all of these foods that he would eat, and he's been a great eater ever since. It just took us a really long time to get there.
Sometimes it takes a while. Colin used to, he was a weirdo because he would just eat ketchup. I mean, just,
oh yeah. I used to eat mayo, mayo right out of the jar. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay. You know, so I mean, his diet for a long time was chicken nuggets and ketchup.
Yep. Yep.
That was the only thing we could get the kid to eat. Chris's kids were a little weird because she would make mac and cheese, but they didn't like the cheese. So basically
they just
noodles,
wanted the noodles,
you know.
It's called boiled noodles, and then you put a little butter on it. It's easy. But you get it. You do what you have to get them to actually eat something.
Did you have something when you were a kid that, you know, was kind of a strange combo as far as food?
No, I don't really didn't, because my mom was an amazing cook, and so she always had really great food options around for me and really healthy options, so I didn't really have any strange combos. I think the weirdest thing that I did was probably mayo right out of the jar by the spoonful. I don't, for some reason, I really loved mayo. Ask me to eat mayo now, I will probably pass it up. But when I was a kid, no, I loved the taste of mayonnaise. Hellman's, that's what we always had in the house. So I would eat Hellman's by the spoonful out of the jar, which is really quite disgusting when you think back on it. It's really pretty darn gross.
Did you
gross.
Mistake it for ice cream?
I knew it was mayo. I have no idea why I ate it by the spoonful. My mom could never figure it out either. And then, of course, this was way back in the olden days when they were like, must be some sort of vitamin deficiency, or I'm just weird. There could be that as well. I mean, you know, who knows? Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. It is going to be cold and breezy today. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But we are going to warm things up as we go through the rest of the week. Sean Cable's going to tell us about that forecast in just a moment. Mike Ganger's also going to have a look at sports next here on Max FM.
Morning and welcome again, Brothers Real Estate and Auction Report. Next week, we have several upcoming auctions, including the Audrey Jensen online-only auction ending Tuesday at 10 a.m. There's a preview at the property north of the Dells on Monday from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. On Tuesday, we have a 231-acre real estate auction featuring land just north of Plain to be sold in four parcels. More details and online bidding on our website at gavinbros.com. This will also be a live auction taking place at our auction facility Tuesday at 11 a.m. And then on Thursday, we have the Sauk Prairie FFA Alumni and Honey Creek Snowmobile Club Consignment Auction, another very large auction again this year, featuring over 1,000 items of farm machinery, construction equipment, trailers, and much more. There's a preview this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, as well as next Wednesday. You can view that catalog and more details at gavinbros.com. Remember, if you're thinking of having an auction or buying or selling a type of real estate, be certain to get in contact with Gavin Brothers in Reedsburg or Gavin Brothers in Baraboo.
Whatever your needs, from real estate to auctions, large or small, Gavin Brothers Auctioneers and Real Estate of Baraboo and Reedsburg is ready to serve you with professional and courteous service every time, guaranteed. Whether you're thinking about having an auction or purchasing or selling real estate, Gavin Brothers Auctioneers Real Estate is ready to assist you. Contact Gavin Brothers Auctioneers and Real Estate of Baraboo and Reedsburg. Online, go to gavinbros.com or call 524-6416.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent, running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger. Last night, regional basketball action got started for the boys. Baraboo, the sixth seed, earns a 60-57 home victory over Watertown. The team will now hit the road. They'll be going against Wauwatosa West in their next matchup on Friday. They're the three seed. Portage, the 10 seed, upset Sauk Prairie 76-65, the final there. They'll now meet number 2 Beaver Dam. On the other side of that bracket, it's number 8 Reedsburg victorious yesterday in a defensive struggle, 44-34 the final. They'll now head to number 1 Pewaukee. Fort Atkinson winners last night, 63-41 over McFarland. They'll advance on to face number 1 Stoughton. Milton, the 3 seed, now knows they'll face number 6 Jefferson. Monona Grove and Monroe will meet on Friday, and Elkhorn will be at Mount Horeb. That's all for Division 2 in Sectional 3. Division 3, Sectional 3, you've got Lodi, the 4 seed, now awaiting their opponent, Prairie du Chien, after they were victorious yesterday over Evansville, 66-38. Mauston, 56-45 win over Dodgeville. They'll now meet Platteville, the 1 seed. Wisconsin Dell, the 3 seed, had the bye. They're now going to challenge Viroqua after Viroqua got the 70-63 overtime victory over Richland Center. River Valley, the 7 seed, tops Edgewood and now moves on to face New Glarus. Columbus, victorious in OT last night, 65-62 against Clinton. They'll now meet number 2 Lake Mills. For the full bracket and all the details, check out WIAWI.org. Quiet day today. Sectional for girls hoops will get going again tomorrow. Badgers fall last night on the road against Indiana, 74-70 the result there. Kind of a bizarre night as the game was delayed 25 minutes due to a fire alarm in the second half. The game was tied 54 apiece with 10:31 remaining. Both teams had to leave the floor and an assembly hall was evacuated as the alarms continued to sound. About 20 minutes later, the teams and fans were able to file back into the arena. Chucky Hepburn led the way with 15 points for the game. Loss leaves the team 18-10 for the season. And just 3 games left in the regular season. Number 13, Illinois, will be at the Kohl Center coming up on Saturday. Team will then welcome Rutgers as well and then travel to number 2, Purdue. An absolutely dominating victory yesterday for the Bucks over the Charlotte Hornets. 123-85 the final. It was actually 58-26 at the half. Team's able to get a lot of guys on the court thanks to the big lead. 24 points for Giannis to lead the way, though, in scoring with 8 rebounds. Damian Lillard had 23, 9 boards, and 7 assists as well. Bobby Portis came off the bench for 21-8. Team improves to 38-21 for the year. They'll get the same opponent, but this time on the road coming up tomorrow night when the team heads to Charlotte, 6 o'clock tip-off. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger.
Max FM, Gem City weather.
It is going to be a lot colder today, mostly sunny, 24 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 15 to 25. That's going to keep the wind chill in the single digits here for most of the day. Tonight, clear, down to 12 tomorrow. Sunny 46 by Friday, sunshine with a high of 53. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It's 9 degrees outside right now.
99.7
girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Rich girl.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM, Hall & Oates with Rich Girl. It is 7:58 right now. And Finn, time to do a little celebrating today with our birthday list. Of course, before we jump into the celebrity side of things and find out who is famously celebrating a birthday, we'll remind you that if you are celebrating today or maybe know somebody who is, you can still text us on the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells text line, 355-9970. So let's take a look at this celebrity list. We'll jump right in, all right? Sarah Bolger, who plays Emily on Mayans MC. She's also Jade on AMC's Into the Badlands. Before that, she was Princess Aurora on Once Upon a Time and Mary on The Tudors. She is celebrating her 33rd birthday today. Stephanie Sigman is also on the list. Jessica Cortez on SWAT is 37 years old today. Melanie Chandra is also celebrating. She plays Dr. Pinata on Code Black. She is 38 years old today. Carolina Korkova, who is a former Victoria's Secret model from Czechoslovakia. She is celebrating her 40th birthday today. Allie Larder is also celebrating. She was in the first two Final Destination movies, the last three Resident Evil flicks, and the TV show Heroes. A lot of guys also got to know her as the temptress in the whipped cream bikini, though, in Varsity Blues. She is celebrating her 48th birthday. That's quite the resume, isn't it? I was in the final of these three, and then I was the bikini, whipped cream bikini girl. Hello, that's me.
Is that the first time you've ever said that on the air?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, we don't usually talk about the Playboy Playmates individually celebrating birthdays, so that would be a new one. Amanda Abington, the spy who married Dr. Watson on Sherlock, is celebrating her 50th birthday. We also have Robert Sean Leonard celebrating today. He is 55 years old. If you were a fan of the show House, he played House's only real friend, Dr. James Wilson. He's also the guy who commits suicide in Dead Poets Society.